Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing today? No one's doing well? Everybody okay today? If you're glad to be in God's house, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we made it through another week. We're now in November. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Before you know it, we'll have the Christmas tree up. We'll be having the Christmas program, and then we'll be into 2018. So, you know, time gets away from you, doesn't it? Especially once you reach that midway point in life, it really seems to start going a lot quicker, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. Della, would you agree to that? Amen. Hey, I'll admit it. You know, I'm telling you, I wake up in sections every morning now. Amen. You know, I have to get this part out. I move this one a little bit, then give that in a second to readjust, and then get the other parts, and then finally get up out of bed. So, but hey, it's good to be in God's house today. God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
Amen. He is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6.
Amen.
Did everybody get a copy of the sermon notes? If you did not, we've got some up here. If you need one, we'll be glad to get them for you. Guys, we're going to look at something today. I believe the Lord laid it on my heart. He's kind of been leading me down this path over the last couple of weeks. We talked about how to bring godly criticism into someone's life. And this is kind of piggybacking off of that, because I think a lot of times we're concerned about helping hold one another accountable because we're afraid that we're going to be judgmental. And I want to help point out to you here today that we do need to be judgmental based on what the Scripture tells us. We don't want to be judgmental from a punitive point of view where we're just out to bash someone and criticize them and put them down. So I'm hoping that after the sermon today, you'll have a better understanding of what it means to be judgmental versus what it means to be accountable to one another. You know, I've had a lot of discussions with people in the past that have gotten unhappy with me over the years because I questioned them about how they were living their life. I wasn't being judgmental. I felt the Lord was leading me to point out scripturally some things that I have observed in their life that they were doing wrong. And that's one of the key things I want you to understand here is, don't go up to someone about being accountable under the premise of hearsay. See, that's where a lot of people think we've become judgmental, is when we go up to them and we approach them and we're saying, hey, you know, I hear that you're doing this and I just want to talk to you about it. People are going to get defensive when we approach them that way. But if we know for a fact and we've seen and observed ourselves, we as believers are called to hold each other accountable. It's biblical, and I'm going to point it out to you with several scriptures that we're going to read today. You know, as a result of some of the situations I've been in, some of them have chosen to quit communicating with me. And that bothers me to a certain extent, that they chose to run away and not communicate. But I felt I did what God had called me to do. I approached them in a spirit of meekness, in a spirit of care and concern. But you know what a lot of times is, guys? Bottom line, when you try to help hold someone accountable, they don't want to be pointed out for things that they're doing wrong in their life. I mean, we get defensive about that. We don't want somebody to recognize, oh, I'm doing something wrong. So I want to talk to you today about the right way to approach people versus the wrong way to approach them, because that has a lot to do with it. I mean, that has everything to do with it, really, if you think about it. You know, brothers and sisters, we got to remember that the Bible does not give us a pass just because we're believers who have chosen not to follow God's word for whatever reason. It doesn't give us a pass. It's not like, okay, you're a born-again believer, so you have a certain number of passes here for you to do whatever you want to do, whether it's right or wrong. No, that's not what God's word says. God's word says we are to be accountable to one another. We are to redirect one another and help each other stay on the path. If we don't do it, do you think the world's going to? That world is not going to point you in the right direction. It's not going to help hold you accountable to God. But one day, guys, like I said, if you're a born-again believer, we are going to be face-to-face with Jesus. Do you understand that? If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, we're going to be face-to-face with Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. What we say is going to be the truth, because he's going to bring it to light and he's going to bring out the truth in us. Wouldn't you rather be able to sit in front of Jesus one day at that judgment seat, having a clean slate, having had people in your life who poured into your life and pointed out when you were going down the wrong path and prayed with you and helped counsel you and got you back in the right direction, versus having to sit there and hear Jesus say, "Hey man, why didn't you listen to so-and-so? Why didn't you help someone else when you knew they were stumbling?" Because guys, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. You know, somehow we as believers have fallen into this big trap of thinking we can't hold each other accountable. We've fallen into this trap of thinking we can't hold each other accountable. But guys, I'm here to tell you, not only can we help hold each other accountable, we are called to help hold each other accountable. If you will, let's look at Galatians 6. Those of you that can, I'm asking you to stand to your feet as we read two verses, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at Galatians 6, 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing I say in the next few minutes be about me, but let it be all about you, to glorify you and to lift you up, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the first two points I've made in our notes today was that the Bible does not give us a pass just because we're a believer who's slipping up and doing the wrong things. And the second thing I brought up to us already this morning is that we feel like as believers we've fallen into this trap that we can't hold each other accountable. We just have been kind of had that presented to us and pointed out to us that, oh, you don't need to worry about keeping them accountable. You got things that are going on in your own life. Well, let me tell you something. I welcome accountability that's pointed to me. I want you, if I'm doing something wrong and you see that I'm doing something wrong, help me be accountable. But let me say this. I think where some of the scripture comes in about being judgmental is when we're doing it from a hypocritical point of view. When we have as much or more wrong with us and we're trying to point out something in someone else's life, that's when we cross the border from judgment to accountability, or accountability to judgment. Does everybody understand that? If you understand that, nod your head yes. Amen. Okay, good. Just want to see if your necks were still working. Amen. Because some of you are stuck in this position. Okay? Want to make sure the neck would still flex. All right? I love just messing around every now and then. You know, if you can't have fun in life, what good is it? Amen?
Amen.
You can have fun in God's house. I have a great time being a born-again believer.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people think you got to do this, you got to talk this way, you got to listen to this, you got to go here, you got to go there to have fun. No, I have fun in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
I have fun being around other believers. I feed off other believers. Guys, you know, a lot of us are cautious about saying things to other believers because the Bible has said that Jesus said that we should not worry about the speck in someone else's eye because we have this big plank in our own eye. Guys, when it comes to judging versus the necessity of Christians to hold each other accountable to God's word, I think we need to understand where we stand there and what that means. I completely agree with what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and 7. That judging is a bad thing, but let's try to define judging for what it really is, okay? So I want everybody to understand for just a minute what it means to be judgmental versus what it means to try to redirect someone and help them stay on the right path, okay? Judging is looking at another person's actions in such a way that you're pronouncing guilt upon them as though you were their judge, jury, and executioner. You're pronouncing guilt upon them. You did this. You shouldn't have done that. You knew better than to do this. You become judgmental. You're gonna lose this or you're gonna lose that because you chose to do this, that, or the other. You're becoming judgmental. You're playing the role of God there. And that's what Jesus was talking about in that scripture. He didn't mean we weren't supposed to hold each other accountable. He was saying is, get your own yard cleaned up before you approach someone else about theirs. Amen. See, a lot of people like to jump over in somebody else's yard when your weeds are out of control. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be surprised if you try to hold somebody else accountable, they turn right around and say, well, what about you and when you did this or you did that or you did the other? What are you going to say? Are you prepared for someone to come back and ask you those questions? At the end of this sermon, what I want to do is I want to try to present to you the right way and the wrong way to approach somebody when you're trying to help hold them accountable. Because I think the way you deliver the message is absolutely important. Because it's going to help them understand that you really do care about them versus you want to attack them and go on a character assassination of them. Because too many times believers have done that. And there are a lot of churches that like to do that. They like to attack you right off the bat and tell you what you've done wrong and how bad of a person you are without showing the love of Christ. It's all about Jesus' love. That's why all of us are able to be here today, and those of us that are saved are who we are in Christ because of the love of Jesus. We got to show that love to other people. We got to help hold each other accountable. I agree that judging is a bad thing, but we need to understand that we can't pronounce guilt on someone. That's God's job. Our job is to help redirect them back onto the right path. You know, Jesus' point in all of this was to show the hypocrisy of those who thought they could judge others when in fact they were as guilty as those that they attacked. He was trying to point out the hypocrisy in doing that. So you see, when you know a brother or sister is doing something that God's word says we ought not be doing, we need to make sure that we are in the right state before we go and present that to them. Because most likely, some of our transgressions have come to light and people know about those. So we're to hold each other accountable. I've said this before and I've encouraged the importance of having an accountability partner. Somebody you can trust in, somebody you can go to if you're struggling with something. And someone who can help point out areas in your life when they observe you doing things or getting involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. So that's a must, guys. We need to find that person. And we should always welcome people into our lives that care enough about us to want to help keep us pointed in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be thankful for those people. We need to not get defensive and get our feathers all ruffled up because how dare them say anything about me? How dare them not say anything about you? Because they love you enough to want you to be all you can be for God. Amen?
Amen.
They want you to be all that you can be. That's the thing here. Guys, our job is not to determine someone's guilt and punish them. That's not our job to punish. Our job is, however, to hold fellow Christians accountable to the Scripture. I believe that there's some verses that really spell this out to us. And I want to share a lot of verses with you today. So if you want to jot the numbers of these down, you can. One of them's in your notes here in that third bullet. I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 12 is the basis for which we in the church have the right to speak into others' lives. I believe these verses give us that right and really command us to do this. You know, some people are like, I don't want to talk to them about that. They'll think I'm being judgmental. Guys, that's a cop-out. That's basically saying, I don't want to help a brother or sister get better and get back on the right path. Because I might not know what to say, or I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to get them mad at me. Guys, it's not about that. If people get angry at you for trying to help them become all they can be in Christ, then that's just going to have to be it. Hopefully they won't do that. Hopefully they'll understand. If you present it the right way, they'll understand, hey, he approached me in a godly way, or she approached me in a godly way, did not get out of character. And I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Let's look at these verses here. I just wrote these down in italics here in your notes. And this version was already translated from the text that I took this from. I'm not sure this translation, but I just left it as it was. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. Now, Paul's making an important point here. He's pointing out that I'm not talking to you about associating with people from the world or in the world. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. You don't have a right to go and correct them because they don't know any better. They don't know Jesus. So you going and telling them what God's word has to say is not going to matter a hill of beans to them. But look at what he's actually saying here. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, or drunkard, or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? What Paul's saying here is, don't put your focus on people in the world, worrying about what they're doing. Yeah, this world's doing all kind of crazy things. We need to be concerned with believers who are doing the things that some of them are doing. That's who God's called us to help hold accountable. And he's when he says don't even eat with such people, I don't want you to be misled by this verse. It doesn't mean that, okay, if I see someone here in this sanctuary who's done something wrong, that I should just run away from them. Oh my gosh, they've got the plague. Let me get away from them. It doesn't mean you run away from them and just don't have anything to do with them. What Paul's saying here is, when you finally get to that point, it means you have exhausted all ways and means to try to reach that person and help direct them back on the right path. If they refuse to listen to what you've tried to pour into them, then Paul's saying, separate yourself away from them. That's what he's saying. He's not saying do that right off the bat. He's saying, hey, if you've given this thing multiple opportunities and you've really tried to help here, and this person's still doing the same thing, then hey, you're going to have to distance yourself from them. You're going to have to move away from them. Paul's clearly stating that we don't judge outsiders. We don't judge those outside the body of believers. Those people who are of the world, who don't know Jesus. But as for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we do indeed judge them, or more appropriately, hold them accountable based on the teachings of Christ. I want you to understand that point right here, guys. Because anytime you hear the word judge or judgmental or judging, we think that we're immediately attacking someone's character. And that is what being judgmental is. You're basically attacking their character. What Paul's talking about here, what Jesus is talking about here is, he's saying that we are to hold each one accountable. If you want to say judging them based on the scripture, then it's okay to use that. I prefer to use accountability because it's less threatening to people. If I approach someone and say, hey, the scripture says you shouldn't do this, why are you doing it? Now, what kind of response am I going to get from that? If, on the other hand, I say, look, can I talk to you for just a minute? You know, this has really been on my heart here. I noticed the other day that you were doing whatever. And I just want to point out to you that God's word really is clear on that. And in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, can I share those verses with you and just point out to you why I'm concerned about you? Now, they may say, no, I don't want to hear about it. If they say that, then say, okay, well, I'm just going to pray for you, okay? I just want you to know I love you. I'm concerned about you. But then if they're really a born-again believer who the Holy Spirit's already been bringing under conviction, they're going to say, yeah, would you share that with me? You help them understand what it is that they need to be accountable for, and you do it in a kind way, in a meek way, in a gentle way. You don't attack them. I think that's where we mess up a lot of times, and whenever someone's backed in the corner, whenever you've tried to hold someone accountable based on the scripture, what's the first thing they're going to do? Don't judge me. You ain't my judge. God's the only one who can judge me. Okay, you're right. God is the only one that will judge you one day, but I'm going to tell you something else. Your judgment's going to include you not listening to believers who came with a heart of kindness and a heart of goodness trying to redirect you back onto the right path. You're going to be held accountable for not accepting what they were trying to do. So I want you to understand, yeah, don't be dissuaded by people who try to say, you're just judging me. If you're doing it the right way, the way I'm telling you here that the scripture says to go about it, then you're doing it God's way. How many of you want to do things God's way? Say amen.
Amen.
If you don't want to do things God's way, then you're not following God's word. Then what's the need in being a believer if you don't want to do it God's way? I'm just here to point out to you what God's word says about various situations in life. You know, over the life of a pastor, we preach thousands of sermons by the time all is said and done. And eventually, you know, you get to the point where you have to dress up some previous sermons you've given because God's laid it back on your heart again to preach about the same area. So when we do that, we try to always bring it from a little bit of a different perspective the next time. I know I've talked about accountability before, but I don't know that I did a great job of helping you understand the difference between being accountable and being judgmental. So that's what I'm trying to point out to you today. Over and over again, basically, guys, let me say this. Paul's stating that we don't judge outsiders, but as for our fellow brothers and sisters, we do indeed judge them, or more appropriately, hold them accountable to the teachings of God, of Christ. Over and over again, we're told that we must not just hold those in church accountable, but we also must be willing to be held accountable ourselves, guys. We got to be willing to be held accountable ourselves. Scripture says that the wise person accepts correction gladly because it is helpful to them. How many of you accept correction gladly? Or how many of you react like this? Why you tell me that? It ain't your place to tell me what I'm doing wrong. You need to mind your own business. You need to worry about your own self. And guys, guess what? They may be telling you the truth if you've got issues you need to be dealing with. So, but what I'm saying is, guys, people are going to react that way. Anytime we're confronted in an area of our life that is uncomfortable, we're going to act that way. We're going to be negative. We're going to be defensive. You got to be prepared for that. But you love them through that. You don't come back and start firing back at them. You don't end up in a yelling and screaming match because of it. Where are you showing the love of Christ when you do that? You see the point I'm trying to make? There's a right way and a wrong way to approach someone when you're trying to help hold them accountable. You know, whenever I pointed out things in other believers' lives, it was not to declare them guilty. I was not acting as a judge, jury, and executioner. I never once pointed a finger at any of them and said, "You better straighten up or else." I didn't come from that angle. I was simply trying to point out to them what the Scripture demands of us as Christians. And I was asking them to reconsider their approach to these problem areas in their lives. Now, some of them have chosen to just, okay, the best way to handle that, I'm just going to ignore it. And guys, let me tell you something. That's why sometimes in churches, when people are trying to help hold each other accountable, you notice sometimes that your membership starts dwindling down a little bit. And some of that's because you may have been bold and you may have done what God's asked you to do, and you've actually called up somebody and said, "Look, I'm concerned about where you're headed here. Can we talk about this?" And rather than them saying, "You know what, you're right, I really do need to work on that," their solution is, "I'll just go somewhere else. I don't want to be around those people. They're judgmental." Guys, that's not being judgmental. That's being biblical. That's being the person God's called you to be. If we were never accountable to each other and especially to God, what kind of situation would the churches be in today? Where would we be as a church? Think about it. Think about it. If we didn't take the time to point out to each other in a godly way things that we need to work on in our lives, where would we be? We would have a church full of people who are doing whatever they want to do, however they want to do it sometimes, instead of us gently and kindly and meekly bringing them back into a right relationship with Christ. We are called to do this. Guys, I'm telling you, if we turn our backs or if we laugh at someone who we know is a brother or sister in Christ who's doing something they shouldn't be doing, we're reinforcing them. For a believer to think something's funny that the Scripture says is not funny, we're giving them positive reinforcement for their behavior. We're not trying to help bring them into accountability. So I want you to understand, we're called to do that. And if in doing so, it rubs people the wrong way, when we've done it the right way, we were godly about it, we were loving about it, and they choose to walk away from us, you just got to put that in God's hands. You just got to trust that God is going to work in their lives and is going to move in their lives when the time is right. We're called to just be servants, right? We're called to serve. God's called to handle all the rest of it when it comes down to handling situations within their lives. Guys, there's a real difference between judging someone and holding them accountable. The real difference between it is not to punish them, but rather to restore them to God's will for their life. Our job is not to punish someone who's done something wrong. Whose job is that? That's God's job at Judgment Day. If they've not repented for it, He's going to be the one that's going to deal with that. It's not our job to be punitive in our approach, to be punishing in our approach. That's not our job, but rather we're to restore them to God's will for their life. God uses us to help restore others back into His will. If that were not so, we would just be like robots walking around doing whatever we wanted to do with no one to be accountable to. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people, when they slip up in their walk, you got to understand, first of all, if you're a born-again believer, your sins are covered. Do you understand that? Your sins have already been paid for. But what you got to understand is, it's not a free ticket to continue to live the way you used to live. It's not a ticket for that. It is a change. Remember, I told you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. In Christ, you are a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, I told you also, it's a work in progress. It doesn't happen immediately. So, you may have a brother or sister who may even get up here and testify to what God's done in their life. And then 2 months later, they're doing some of the same stuff they testified that God had helped heal them of. That's going to happen sometimes. That's where we as believers have a responsibility to get in touch with that person and say, look, man, or look, woman, I love you in the name of Jesus, and I want you to understand that Jesus loves you. I know you're a believer, but there's some areas in your life you need to work on. And you need to not be ashamed to contact them and talk to them about that. We're called to do that. But guys, correction is one of the most difficult things to accept, whether it's at work, home, or in church. You know why that is? Because all of us respond in defensiveness. All of us tend to respond in defensiveness. Oh, you can see it on somebody's face. If I'm trying to help hold somebody accountable, here's the first thing that'll happen. From the neck up, their face turns red. You ever notice that? I mean red. Then you're like, okay, I think we're locked in now. Face turns red, eyes and ears almost are blood red by that point in time. And they're just ready to lash out at you. This is where what you say next is so important. The way you choose to speak to them after that is so important, because they're already ready to what? Attack you for questioning them. But God has said, approach them in a spirit of meekness. Approach them with gentleness. Show them my love. And then point out to them in a gentle way what's going on and give them some scripture to back it up. I encourage you, when you go out to help try to hold a brother or sister accountable, have some scripture on hand. What if they say, well, show me where it says that in the Bible. I don't believe that. What you going to do? Well, let me get back with you. Where's your credibility gone? That's the point I'm trying to make here. Guys, once we get over that defensiveness, we need to thank God for the people He has put into our lives to correct us when they do it with the motive of restoring us gently, as the Scripture prescribes. You ought to be thankful if somebody loves you enough to pull you to the side and say, you know what, I love you, but I just don't think you're heading down the right path. I noticed that you're doing this and that, and man, I just want you to be all you can be for the Lord. Can we pray about this? Approach them with love and courage and concern. But don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. When you laugh at it, when you are supportive of it, it negatively reinforces that person, and they're going to get further off the path. I just have a real burden for people who I know are making mistakes. I see it. I look at it. I hear it. And let me encourage you about something right here. Don't go to someone with a spirit of love trying to hold them accountable based on hearsay. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. Don't go up to somebody and say, hey, I heard you was out drinking last night. Is that right? Okay. They may come back and say, well, guess what? I saw you there. Amen. You know, you better be careful how you approach things here. Don't go to them based on hearsay. If you, the person, see them doing something that God's word explicitly says is wrong, then you have grounds to bring them to you and help try to guide them back in the right way. Now, if you hear all these rumors, there's absolutely nothing wrong with going to a person and say, can I ask you something? I don't believe in listening to all this hearsay. I want to just come straight to you and ask you a question. Have you been blah, blah, blah? Are you doing this, that, or the other? There's nothing wrong with that. They're either going to say, no, I haven't, or yes, I have. And then that gives you an opportunity to help gently bring them back into a right relationship. But don't go on the attack of someone based on hearsay. We've done that too many times. Parents are especially bad about it. Word gets back to you. Hey, I heard your son or your daughter was up there doing something. Boom, you get on that cell phone. Hey, you better get straight home today. I got something to talk to you about. Boom, hang the phone up. Don't even know if it's true or not. How about wait till they get home and say, I want to talk to you about something here. You know, somebody brought it to my attention that they heard that you were doing so and so. I just want to ask you point blank, you know, person to person here, because I don't want to believe rumors. I want to know for sure. Are you guilty of this? There's nothing wrong with that, guys. As parents, we've got to do that for our kids. But we don't want to drive a wedge between us and them by just being always on the attack and making them seem that we're judgmental. Guys, we should never be afraid to correct a fellow believer, because, guys, you're doing them a favor when you do it. Do it gently with humility in love. And it will never be offensive. And don't be offended when someone corrects you, because they're doing you a favor even though you may not see it. Welcome positive correction in your life. Welcome accountability moments in your life. Because those are the moments that are going to help you grow as a believer. And as a church here at Bethesda Baptist, if we can't help hold one another accountable, who else is going to? Well, I can tell you this, come Judgment Day, God's going to bring it to us and bring us into the light about it. But who else in the world is going to do it? Nobody. Paul was talking about believers here. He was saying, as believers, we should be holding believers accountable. We should do it in the right way. We should follow the biblical principles. I want to take just a second in closing. I want to read you a few scripture and I'm done. These are scripture now. If you want to jot them down, you can go back and read them later. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That's James 5:16. Now, James 5:19-20, look at what it says. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be truthful to your neighbor. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I especially love Hebrews 3:12-13, and I'm going to close on these verses here. Hebrews 3:12-13. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, help hold each other accountable. Guys, that's what it's all about. I can tell you this, I will appreciate you more as a believer in Christ, even though it might ruffle my feathers when I hear it at first. I will appreciate you more for helping try to get me back on the right path than if you just totally ignored me and allowed me to slip up to the point that I really got into the wrong situation. I believe anybody would want that if you really are truthful about it. Who wants somebody to just turn away from them when they're doing wrong and just let them just go down that path? It's just not really in us deep down inside. Now, on the surface it may be, but we want to be held accountable. Trust me, kids want discipline in their life. They may say, oh man, my parents, they're just crazy, man. Blah, blah, blah. But the reality of it is, after 30 years of being in education, the ones that I rode the hardest are the ones that come back to me after they've graduated and went on to college telling me they appreciated me making them do this and helping them do that. And you know what? That lets me know one important thing. They appreciated structure. They appreciated someone who took the time to correct them when they were wrong and to point them in the right direction. Guys, when you do it with love and you do it with one purpose in mind, and that is to help redirect a brother or sister back on the right path, then you've done it the way God wants you to do it. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I just pray, God, that you'll help us to not be ashamed to help hold each other accountable. Lord, when we approach them in kindness, with a humble and gentle spirit, and we have scripture to back up what we're saying, then, Lord, we've done what you've asked us to do. If that person chooses to fire back and say that we're judging them and we can't judge them and we shouldn't judge them, then, Lord, we've done all we can do. The rest is going to be up to you. But, Lord, help us to never let a brother or sister stumble through life not helping hold them accountable. I just believe that's what you want for us. I believe that that's what's hurting a lot of churches right now today, that people are turning the other way and they're not trying to help hold each other accountable. And as a result, it's hurting your kingdom, because we can't be effective workers when we've got issues in our life that are holding us back. And I just pray, Lord, now as we open up these altars, we'll come up here today, those that feel led. And Lord, just lay any of these burdens down. Just confess, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been doing this, and I'm sorry I've been doing that, and I want to be more accountable to you. And Lord, I know you'll restore us, and I know you'll heal us and bring us back into a right relationship with you. I thank you for each and every person here today, Lord. Whatever their burden may be, help them to come here and lay it down at the foot of your Son, Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn number 544.
544. 544. Let's stand and sing hymn number 544.